Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, Simon Lamed Gimel. A little bit more about Hilchas Tefillin. Okay. Simon Lamed Gimel, Seif Aleph, is not so likely to happen with our contemporary Tefillin because of the superior quality of our Tefillin. But yet, Shulchan Aruch teaches us what happens if the inside of the batim, the separation of the batim internally, if they tear. Now, without filling, it is, I don't know if it's impossible, but it's certainly very, very rare. In the previous years, the filling were much softer. We've spoken about this previously. Much softer, and hence much more vulnerable, and hence they could tear. That's the halacha, Rabbi Yisrael. Im niskalkel oshel shnei batim, simen lamet gimel seif aleph. Im niskalkel oshel shnei batim, mi batei rosh. The batim of the tefillin shel rosh, as we discussed countless times now, they're divided into four compartments, four batim. If they tear, zeh tzel zeh. So you've got literally the leather separation internally of the four batim. If one of them tears, I wonder if you've got a picture of that actually. If one of them tears, it's imat tefillin yeshonim. If the tefillin are old psulim, then it's posul. V'im chadosh tefillin are fairly new. Nevertheless, it happened. Ksherim it's kosher. Called zman, provided she'oyr moish v'abatim kaim, as long as the base remains. So we're talking about is that if the you got very good. Oh, it's good pictures. Oh wow, very good. Okay, by the way, that's how it looks like before the paint. Yeah. That's what it looks like before the paint. You remember we spoke about yesterday about the flap, yeah? Because it looks like that's what the stitching needs to be done for. These are really good pictures. That's where the batim inserted. That's really good. Wow. Very good. Okay, so now if you've got these four batim over here, and what we are talking about now is if there is a tear. There's a tear here. And obviously normally they are merged together. But if this tears over here, what happens then? That's the scenario we're discussing over here. What if this tears internally? That's really good. Here we can also understand how the molding works, the shigin, from inside out. Beautiful. Yeah, here's how it's done. Very nice. It's really worth looking at this. Yeah. Ah, here, how the four, that's really nice, those pictures. It's really worth looking at it. Okay, so now it says as follows. If they are old, then it's possible. If they are old, then it's kosher, provided the base still remains. The Ramah gives us a different opinion. Some say the other way around. No. If the tefillin are old, that's when it's kosher. But if you're buying new tefillin, you might as well have them good and proper and nice. And therefore, if they are new and they are torn, that's when it's possible. We've got different opinions. Guess how we paskin? How do we paskin? That old is old and torn is a problem, or new and torn is a problem? We've got a machlokes like this about tefillin. What's going to be the halacha? Pardon? We have got a machlokes already. So how do we paskin? Says the Ramah, we're going to be machmir nir alidish lehachmir lifsol b'shneim. We are machmir on both opinions. So if they are new and they are torn, it's possible. If they're old and they're new, if they're old and they're torn, they're possible. We're going to invalidate the tefillin either way. So if the separation internally of the tefillin are torn, it's possible either way. Ve'elim chadoshim, define new. Define new and define old. What? Because Shulchan Aruch is of opinion, Shulchan Aruch himself's opinion is, he differentiates between old and new. And he says, if they're old, they're apostle, if they're new, and torn, they are kosher. So, that's Shulchan Aruch's own opinion. Yeah. So, Ve'elim Chadoshim, these are new. Kol Zman Shimoyu Moish Chinois Nubretzu Es Abayis Mispashet. If it's still, if you pull it, it's still soft enough that it's going to be, eventually they get stiff and hard. But at the beginning, it's leather. So if you can still stretch it, then it's kosher. If they are, then it's new, that's considered new. If they are old and stiff, that's when it's called old. But so that's why it's nivtach nika chodeshim, eni nivtach nika yoshan, v'im niskalki lishonim, v'im niskalki lishnaim, zeh tzelzek, ezek ne gedrishen de shlishi ksherim va filim shonim niskal klug gimel batim bechol inim psulim shulchan aruch says over here, if three of those are torn anyway, it's going to be possible. If two of them, then it depends if they're right next to each other or not. So if one of them is torn, that was the discussion. If three of them are torn, it's either way possible. If two of them tear, then it's going to be, if they're next to each other, they're going to be possible as well. But again, Rabbi Sai, nowadays, I don't believe that such a scenario can happen without tefillin nowadays. Siv base. Im nifsku tefiro is that tefillin la Rambam, im yushtei tefiro is zu betzal zu, o she nifsku gimel tefiras, aflu zu keneged zu, harelu psulim. We are now discussing the stitches. What happens if the stitches tear? This, I actually have seen. What happens if the stitches of the, we discussed yesterday, the stitches of the, how the tefillin, right? Can I just have the picture again? You remember how it's open up? So we discussed yesterday, the gittim stitching it together. So this can happen. You've got the, okay, here, that's what binds it together. You put the batim in. You put the batim in here. Looks like this from underneath. You put the batim in here. And now you're stitching this together, as we discussed extensively yesterday. And that's when it's molded together. Now, what happens if this tears? There's no picture of that here. What happens if this tears?
The stitching.
Yeah.
But it's still got the glue.
Oh, very good. So yesterday we spoke about the glue, it's true. But it can't be held by the glue alone. As we discussed yesterday, what has to, Elohim Mishmashina tells us, it's the giddim which holds it together. If it's just the glue on its own, it's actually going to be possible to fill in. So Shulchan Aruch says, what happens if it tears? If these tear, it can happen. So if they're next to each other, says the Rambam, so the stitches are torn in two places right next to each other. Or alternatively, if there are three of them torn, okay, so that's quite extreme, three of them tear, zuk. They're not next to each other, three separate places it's torn, then it's possible. That's if it's old. But if it's new, then as long as the bias is still there and it's still sticking together to some extent, and it's going to be kosher. These are new ones called, if what's considered new in terms of the stitches, these giddim are considered new, if the tefillin can be held with it. So if you hold this string and the tefillin is held by this string, that's considered still flexible and that's new. But if it's going to be tear, then it's going to be considered old. If it's going to be tear, and it's going to just detach, and that would be old. Also holds the other way around. Kenny Galin, the Ramos says again, as previously, we're going to be spinning on both opinions. Whether it's new, whether it's old, if it's torn, you better replace it. Full stop, new paragraph. Siv Gimel, new topic. Oye Ratsuas. What's the ingredient? What is the Ratsuas meant to be made out of? The Ratsuas. The Ratsuas, what are many we have? So, Oye Ratsuas, Tzorech Shilim, Oye Behem, Chai, Oye Vatoyim. This we've discussed, that the material, the source of the ritzua of the straps got to be from a kosher animal, chayev oif, a wild animal or a bird, and v'tzorch shem uber dishmoy, it's got to be processed lishmoy. Ritzua is bein me oir bein miknaf ksheirois aloch l'mishmi Sinai. Whether ritzua, you could theory have a, it's not only got to be out of leather, you can also have made out of klaf. Imagine that. Imagine you've got ritzua made out of klaf. How would that sound? How would that look like? It's fine. It's kosher. It still comes from a kosher animal. Halacha mishum sinai shu ratzua. Yeah. So you can have it from any from klaf as well. Ratzuas are much thicker than generally klaf. You're right. It's really material.
Just one thin and thicker.
Yes, and I suppose processed differently as well. It's a bit processed a bit different. I don't know. It doesn't feel like you could write on a ratzua.
It wouldn't tear because it's.
It probably wouldn't tear, but it's.
It's too light.
You would flap it all over the place, yeah. Yeah. Halacha Lamush Sinai should. It's interesting, by the way, just to mention. Yesterday I spoke to a sofer, Rabbi Lush, and he just told me that, you know, it's incredible how much you need. He purchases klaf for his parshas that he writes, and he says you cannot imagine the. He said you can't imagine how different the quality is that you can sometimes get. You buy, and you don't know what you're getting. You can't, you know, you're buying, and then you're getting a certain amount of klaf. He says, you don't know what you're getting. You can't try it out and test it beforehand. You're getting, he said, the difference of quality can be so different that it can take a huge amount. So sometimes he says the klaf, it just writes. It's geschmack. It's smooth. It goes well. And Thomas said, sometimes you can get klaf. It's just so, so hard to write on it. It becomes very, very difficult and draining to write on it. He said, well, you don't know what you're getting. You don't know. It can take so much more time consuming depending on the quality of the klaf that you're getting. So you can have different quality. But in terms of the ritzuas, it is much thicker. So he says now, Shulchan Aruch says, Halacha Lamush Misina, Shi Ritzuas Shchoiros. The color must be black, Mebechutz, outside, externally, Avol Mitzat Pnim, but internally, Yasem Eze Tzeva Shiritzi, you can do any color you wish, Chutz, besides from Odoim, which is red. Why is red ritzuas no good, internally? Perhaps people are going to say Shemitam Chatotov Nitzbu Ve'edimu, that this is blood, and people are going to suspect that he's got some sort of condition, and therefore it's turned all black and all that. So therefore, don't avoid red. So again, the external part facing outwards, that's going to be black, real black. Internally, can do any color besides red. Because red, people are going to think it's blood, and people will think Chalili, you've got some sort of condition. Now. Define black. Define black. What's black? How would you say black? Mishnah Mosef Kotten Yutes says black. Shchoyrois ein bevoch shama the sefer bevoch shama early Katman to mashma midvorov to mitzvah lashchir ad she shchoyrois ka'oyeh black like a. Wow. Say that again, please. So, no. So, the Shulchan Aruch defines definitely black like ka'oyrev. Yeah, like a raven, which is very black. It's interesting because if you look, I don't know exactly, if you take a feather of a raven, is it really, really purely black? I don't think so. Have you ever checked a feather? Is it real black? I think there's a slightly, I don't know if I'm right. Does it not have a slightly bluish, very, very dark navy color into it? Because it's quite... No? Oh, yeah. Please, if you see a feather, please bring it. I think there's a bit of blueness to it, yeah. No? No, you don't think so? Ah, that could be as well. Now, what Shulchan Aruch says, the Mishnah Berurah says, if you test, v'da, you should know, im nisyashnu, if they get old, v'nismaich mehen ashachas, and the blackness disappears a little bit, tzorch la'ashchir on mechodesh, you've got to paint it over black again. Kedel. Uvimokim hiduk, akesha, the place where you're tightening the tefillin, that kesha motzim me'oid, it is very common in smaych hashachas that the blackness disappears. V'yesh lo'ezor b'me'oid, you've got to be really, really careful. But I saw the poets can discussing this. This is a very, very interesting question because you could have some extreme opinion, and I want to discuss this now. Some people say, Some people say you've got to have black ritzua. So there's one discussion about the color. So we understand you've got to be really, it's got to be really black. It's got to be really black. So some people, I saw the poskim discussing. The question number one is that what if it's not complete black? If it's not completely black, if the color's got some bluish nuance to it, tint. So the poskim want to say that it's actually okay. Black is black, but if it's slight bluish is okay. That's point number one. But very common. What happens with the tzuas after a while?
It's going to fade.
In what way? How will you see the fadeness? How do fadeness occur?
It become more dark. Because now it's
Dull?
It's a bit shiny, isn't it?
No, I don't think dullness.
No. Cracking.
Cracking.
Cracking, yeah.
Cracking, that's very common. Now, there are some, I've heard people, some extreme, and really, it's very consistent. They say, listen, the tzuas is halach olam moshe misinai, it's got to be black, okay? And we know that it's got to be totally black. So could you argue, so we don't know a share in it, so what would be, so somebody could argue that, well, if you got even one area where there's a crack or there is even a dot, which is very common as well, which is not black, but it's probably, I don't know, whitish or grayish or something like that, sometimes a bit reddish. So now the tefillin, the tzuas, are not black anymore. So you could argue that perhaps the tzuas as a whole are possible. Question mark. In other words, we don't have a shear. We don't have a shear. All we know is that it's got to be black. We know you've got to have a tzuas.
It's a lacha mishum Sinai. But that's why it's better that the inside of the color is also black. You said it can be any color apart from red. But
yeah. Now, very good. So you are referring to a chumrah that some people have, which they have now the tzuas, which are inside, also black. Very nice. There's various reasons for this chumrah. One of them is precisely what you're mentioning now. Others say because, you know, when they go over, we spoke previously about when the tzuah turns over, that's no good. So there's various reasons for it. However, let us be very, very honest about this, that this is a very recent chumrah. If you look at your grandfather's tefillin, and certainly your great-grandfather's tefillin, and probably even your parents' tefillin, it didn't exist in those days. This is recent. In fact, so much so that when Avosna was asked about this, some Poskim didn't like the idea about it initially because it's a new thing. Tefillin is not a recent invention. They've been wearing tefillin for thousands of years. And now suddenly we've learned the skill how to do it. Some people were not excited about it. And they say, you know, it always used to be black and white. So you know, white, black, or I should call it black and
gray.
Black and gray. So why are you going to do black and black? Man? But it's true. It's a chumrah. But all I'm pointing out is it's a modern invention. And it's been recently introduced. So again, the question is, what? But you're right. If you have that kind of feeling, you may have helped the tzu by having it both double sided. But basically, how are we going to deal with the dots and the cracks? Is this a problem? You color in. So yes, the answer is of course you can buy these black ink. They don't cost a lot of money, and you can, and therefore whenever you see a black thing, you can cover it up. That's yeah. But I want to know, before you blackened it, was it possible? Before you black, if you had a few white dots and a few cracks in there, would it tzuas possible?
So it's just
I'm asking.
Oh.
I'm asking, but how are we going to define? So the poskim say as follows. They say that if it's something which is hardly possible to recognize from a certain distance, if you look at it from a certain distance, you can't even see it, then as we've spoken previously as well, that something which is hardly near la'ayin is probably not, it will probably won't invalidate the tefillin. So despite the fact that it's a bit different, because halacha mishum Sinai, nevertheless, if it's something which is hardly visible, poskim ha'meikil, but it is certainly true to say that one should, as Mishnah points out over here, one should try to blacken it as early as possible when you see that there is a little bit of tefillin which is not completely black. The question is also, what if we have got our share of the tzuas generally is a little bit longer than what we really need. We spoke, but do you remember, how long do the tzuas need to be? Yeah, we spoke about the length of the tzuas. Do you remember, left and right? So either way out, the tzuas tend to be a little bit longer. So the person can ask, what if it's on the extra bit? Does that, if it's a bit that you don't really need to have the tzuas, if it's there, you've got some white, which is actually quite common, because if you think about it, often the last bit, the end bit, by the tefillin shaliyad, even more so. Imagine, think about the tefillin shaliyad. So often the last bit over here tends to go a bit worn out. And there, it's not really a requirement. So does that matter or not? If it's going to be, if it's cracking a bit, or do you have to straight away go start and painting it? The poskim, yeah?
And the answer is?
The answer is that it's fine. Many poskim are meikel. Many poskim are meikel. They say it's not really a required area of the tefillin. So that make them. Well, sure, if one can, one should of course blacken it if possible.
Is one allowed in that case to say, are you allowed to cut it?
Yes, you can.
You can cut it.
You can. Yeah. Siv Dalet teaches us, Toiv Shashchiram Yisrael Lishmon Veloy En Yehudi. If you're making the tefillin black, You're asking you to do that, so it should be lishma. It should be for the sake of the tefillin. It shouldn't be done for other people. You should ask a yid to do it. You should do it yourself, or a yid to blacken it. Don't ask a Gentile to color it, even if he's skilled and he's got expertise and he's a world-famous painter. He's the wrong person to paint your tefillin black. See, Ramah says, b'di'evet kosher, imishchir oil, habatim, if a goy did it, b'di'evet, it's still okay. Aval retzuas avali b'di'evet possible, but when it comes to retzuas, habatim, if a goy does it, invalidates it. The retzuas, however, if a goy does it, you wouldn't invalidate it. To summarize what we learned this evening, gentlemen, we learned that if the insides of the batim get torn, then whether it's old or new, either way, should it's invalidating the tefillin, the batim. We spoke about the fact that if it's the torn strings also would invalidate the tefillin. We discussed further that the retzuas must be done lishma from a kosher animal. In theory, you could use klaf as well. It's not done though, but it's got to be black. It's got to be black, very black. Externally, inside can be any color besides red. And we said also the goy is not the right person to. A goy is not the right person to color the retzuas. It should be a yid. If a goy did blacken the retzuas, so if it's the batim bedi'evet, it would be kosher. If it's retzuas, invalidates in bedi'evet. Okay.